we have tried to develop soul consciousness. And if you have not attained some degree of the texture of soul consciousness, then you may feel that the kingdom of heaven is very remote, because without soul consciousness, the kingdom of heaven is remote. When Jesus said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again," he later demonstrated precisely what he meant. After the destruction of his so-called body, which was the temple that had been mentioned when he said, "Destroy it, and in 3 days I will raise it up again," he appeared in the garden. And that was the soul world in which Mary saw him, although he was invisible to all others. But he said to her, "Touch me not. I have not yet ascended." Soul was a level. It was not the final demonstration. Now, as he moved up into the spirit world, and then finally into the Christ world, those were the 3 days he meant. "In 3 days I will raise it up again." Soul was one day, spirit another day, Christ a third day. From the fourth world of humanhood, the mind universe, his 3 days were to the soul universe, the spiritual universe, and the Christ universe. In those 3 days, rising to the full stature of Christhood, we raise this body from the mortal sense of body to the Christ awareness of body. By stopping first in the garden to be seen by Mary, he emphasized the soul level of consciousness that we must attain in order to rise further. Perhaps that is a brief answer to one of the questions just mentioned here. The individual said, "It's getting rather crowded. We have all these names now. We need them. We need the soul, we need the spirit, and we need the Christ." And when the Holy Ghost comes, which is another name, it will arrive within your soul. And it will be the presence of Christ in your soul. If you try to oversimplify, you will discover you're leaving out that which must happen within you. Each of these names is another function or area of consciousness within the one consciousness that must happen in your experience. The Holy Ghost does not enter a human mind, it enters your soul. Now, in soul, we find a different pace. In the soul realm, a remarkable thing happens. Once you were quite tiny in this universe, and the universe was vast, in soul that is reversed. You become infinite. And the world becomes nothing. This reversal is where we should have found some experience now. In the stillness of your mind, which must be achieved for your soul to rise into the only consciousness you know, you will reach that level where you can rest in the peace of the infinite. In my soul, I find Christ peace. In my soul, I find divine law. In my soul, the evils of the world have no entrance. The carnal mind has no place to express its concepts of good and evil. Dwell quietly outside the mind. Let us transcend the mind, which is either a relay station for the world mind or for your soul. And if you do not get the distinction, that carnal mind will operate your mind and even twist the Bible around to make it seem as if the soul realm has no existence. It is our mission to release our soul, to identify as soul. To receive the Father's guidance through soul. There are 1 million people in this world suffering from all kinds of cancer. Only one reason. It was never impressed upon them that they had a soul that had to be lived in. There's absolutely no other reason. The world mind cannot impress the belief in cancer on your soul. It needs a human mind to work through. Give it a soul to work through, and the carnal mind is out of business. There are no breast tumors, no brain tumors, no internal tumors in your soul, only in the mind. The mind is the avenue through which the body receives all the suffering in this world. That wanton mind that we're so completely concerned about, which we follow although it's going to die, that mind is the avenue for every disease and every evil in this world. That's the mind that lies and cheats and receives bribes. That's the mind that commits arson and rape. That's the mind that makes mistakes. That's the mind that makes wrong decisions. Oh, you say it's the other fellow's mind does that, not mine. Until you find that your mind is an avenue, a vast boulevard, for every form of error that this world contains. If you have not been impressed by the fact that you must transcend mind, not partially but totally, reevaluate your particular situation. And if divine birth is your goal, the mind is a stumbling block. I am soul was the identification requested yesterday. And it will be requested every day by the Spirit within. It is the Father's will that you rise to the Christ mind. You cannot do it from human mind to Christ mind. You need a bridge. That bridge is your soul. Your fulfillment of the divine will that you live in the Christ mind is a demand that you rise above mind to soul and from soul you will move upward still higher. But first, soul. Soul is non-judgmental, non-critical, non-analytical. And if you cling to these remnants of mortal belief, you are turning away from the divine guidance to lift you into the purity of soul. What mind can say, I am immaculate? Your soul not only says it, your soul maintains it. And let's do that now. Our first order of the day is a meditation on I am immaculate. Conceived in the image and likeness of the Father, immaculate I am forever. All of me that is not immaculate is not me. You say in your note you feel violence. No, you don't. Your mind does. Your soul feels no violence. And so when violence comes into your mind, it's a recognition that should spring up in you that I'm in my mind universe. I don't face the violence and overcome it. I rise to my identity through soul. I am immaculate. Where is this violence? It isn't even in the I that I am. It's in the world mind. Now that's a cardinal principle. Evil is not in a person. There is no such thing as an evil or violent person. There is the appearance of violence in the world mind, relayed as the appearance of violence in the image called person. There is no such thing as a thief. There is the appearance of a thief. You can't take a thief into heaven. But today you will be with me in paradise because you're not a thief. You are immaculate. And I'm not looking at your physical form. That's not you. I'm looking at your spiritual body of pure divine light. It is immaculate, nor is it violent. Always incorrect self-identification leads to the belief in error. Right identification reveals that the error is in only the wrong identification, not in the reality of your being. You are always immaculate. Wrong identification must bring wrong experiences. Right identification is the way you become what is called a righteous man. You will never see those 10 righteous men who can save a city. Sometimes we scan the Bible so casually that things stick in our mind as a fact when they're not a fact at all. 10 righteous men will not save a city. Even though the Bible says it, because the Bible means something quite different than what you read. All through the Bible, the numbers 10 are given many times. 10 cities, 10 years, 10 cubits, 10 knots to a cubit. 10 lavas, 10 baths. 10 righteous men. The 10 righteous men are your soul. Your soul is those 10 righteous men. And whenever you find 11, you'll find your spirit is being referred to. And when you find 12, you'll know it's the full Christhood of you that's referred to. So the word 10 constantly is telling you, find the soul, find the soul, find the soul. The soul will save a city. And the city is what? Is it a geographical city? You are a city. And your soul will save you. That's what it means. Each of us is a city. And when you rise to the level of 10, you are a righteous man. Because in your soul, you will receive the fullness of the Father. And that saves your city. Salvation is in your soul. In 3 days, this temple will be raised again. By rising to your soul, your spirit, and your Christhood. And the same body temple that Jesus showed us was no deterrent to eternal life is the truth for all of us. Now, when you are accustomed to living in your soul, the miracle of life begins. Soul consciousness is the first major step in rebirth, in transition, in eternal life. The signs of soul consciousness surround you. There are early signs, there are later signs, there are higher signs. Let's find them again. Above the mind, the soft suggestion of music. Not music that the ears can hear. And ever so subtly, the music changes to perfume. And you smell the music. And it smells just like perfume. And again, ever so subtly, the musical notes become light notes, and you see the music and the light as one. You begin to feel this new substance. A soft light appears. And it remains. Your soul is feeling the presence of spirit. And this light is the evidence. And your soul is extracting from the spirit an essence, a substance. And that substance slowly replaces the substance of your mind. Mind formed appears to us as matter. All forms are made of mental substance. Soul is going to change that. As you live in soul, and soul extracts essence from spirit, soul will transform mind substance into soul substance. It will be a transformation right in your own sense of body, right in your own sense of universe. That light will begin to permeate all things. That essence will begin to flow into your own consciousness as your own being. You will feel the essence behind all things as your being. Your soul will lift you into the consciousness that I am the invisible, infinite, everywhere. This extract of the spirit by the soul is going to be your eternal vehicle for life without end. It is going to infiltrate every breath and every step you take upon this earth, even in a physical form. It is going to transform you. And when it becomes living experience, you will find there is a difference between a mind image, which is all you can see in the world, and a soul image. A soul image is made of soul essence. A soul image is indestructible. A soul image is impervious to every germ in this universe. You can put a bullet in the soul image and it will not make any contact. The world of material powers is powerless, totally impotent against a soul image. You will be a soul image. And when you are, you will not be a mind image, which is mortal. You will be immortal. Your immortality comes from the extract of spirit in your soul, transformed into a soul image made of spiritual essence. which is immune to all powers in this world. This is the slow, gradual transformation that has been planned by the Spirit of the Father. This is the meaning of divine flesh. And because this is inevitable for whoever lives in the soul, every attempt of the world mind to make you be a human thinker is also an attempt to prevent your transformation into permanent being. If you want the self-indulgence of the mind, you can have it. If you want the permanent selfhood of your own being, you can have it also. But you must know that when you are willing to live only in your soul, you are making that transformation possible. As the soul image is formed, you will look the same to everyone else, except those who in some degree have a soul awareness of their own. They will notice the difference. And in this soul image, you will find that as you walk through this world, you have lost all fear. You have lost all uncertainty. You have lost the need for self-defense. You have lost the need for self-aggrandizement. You have lost the need for all mortal ambition, desire. Every need is met through the soul expression without reaching outside your being. You appear as soul image, but you are infinite, and the soul image is but a symbol of your infinite self. All is produced from within your infinite self and appears within your soul and is brought forth from the outer world, from your soul, which is infinite, to that which appears as your soul image. You are fed by your infinite soul, which brings whatever is needed to the soul image. Now that soul image is going to look exactly as this mortal image has looked, with just enough minor differences that someone in soul awareness will notice the difference. Does this sound impossible to you? It has sounded impossible to the world. In fact, it is unknown to the world. But it is precisely what the Christ demonstrated. That which appeared to us as Jesus was an image of the soul, not an image of the mind. And because the image of the soul is identical in appearance to the image of the mind, both appear as mortal, although one is immortal. The world was completely unaware that within our midst was the life of all men, because all that appeared to them was as a mortal being. What mortal could see an immortal in its presence? But then the immortal did strange things. So that those who knew the nature of the light could realize this is not a mortal. This is an immortal among us, made of spiritual substance translated into form by the soul. And because of this spiritual substance, because of this immortal image, The miracles that appear to be done were accomplished in a very peculiar fashion. The ear of Malchus lay on the ground. We have been under the assumption that Jesus then put it back on. He did not. And to understand this, you must realize that there stood no person in a form. That was a soul image representative of the infinite soul, living in a different state of perception than a human mind. What did the soul see? Did it see an ear on the ground? The soul saw the whole light of that individual. The soul sees only within the infinite spiritual kingdom. It sees the whole light of an individual. That perception and the return of the ear to Malchus are simultaneous. We see the ear go back, but that is not what is happening. What we are seeing is the soul perception of the Christ called Jesus. That soul perception and the return of the ear are simultaneous. It is the perception that we see, which appears to us as an ear going back. We are seeing the soul perception of the Christ when Lazarus steps out of a tomb. Whatever appears in a healing by Jesus is the instantaneous soul perception and the act in unison simultaneously. No movement of body is made. The perception and the act are one. And you will discover traces of this as you rise higher into your soul perception. That which your soul perceives and that which happens will be simultaneous. This is an inner revelation that will come to you only by living in your soul. You will discover that the transformation of this world will take place the same way. Your soul perception will transform this world for you. As you perceive the full light and not the mental picture of the world mind, your perception will become the fact, and it will be the recovery of that specific quality that was missing in whatever you saw. I don't know how many of you have had glimmers of this or the experience of it. I suspect we've all had something along those lines but didn't quite know what to make of it. It's like the woman falling down, suddenly finding her soul in that instant, and in that very same instant she's standing up. Because the soul cannot see error. The soul only sees the immaculate self. And the immaculate perception becomes visible as the recovery. Now that's one of the great miracles in store for all of us. It's one of the great treasures of the kingdom. It's one of the reasons why eternal life is within your reach. Because soul is permanent, and soul perception being perfect, perfection remains. I am immaculate, and this immaculate nature of your being can only be revealed to you by your own soul awareness. And so while you're accepting it on faith, dwell with it sufficiently so that whatever denies it eventually reaches your soul awareness rather than your mind. To your mind, this is just a conjecture. To your soul, this is the truth that is forever. I'm speaking now to your immaculate self. I'm not speaking to your mind. And your immaculate self now must be expanded. The second day, I am the immaculate self of all that I see. Of all that I see, I am the immaculate self. The perfection of all things is ever present, ever immaculate, and never can be less. Only a mind idea can make it appear so, but it never can be less. Find your immaculate self through soul, extend your immaculate self to its infinite reality, and you'll see that you are the immaculate self of this world. What powers are released when you become conscious of this truth? That is what you will discover. No words of mine are necessary. When you are practicing, I am the immaculate self of this world, you will discover the full power of your soul. And you will be growing into that which ultimately will be called by the Father, my Son. When you are the immaculate self of this world, you are my Son. You are living in my kingdom. We're far away from the personal self, far away from the personal mind of the personal self. We're living in our Father's kingdom as the immaculate self of the world, where I and the Father are one. And this is how your soul manufactures a soul image. If you do not live in the spiritual kingdom, you cannot find a spiritual body. If you do not live in the divine life, you cannot enjoy the qualities of that divine life. And if you deny that divine life by decimating it, by dividing it up into many persons, you lose it. There is one Son of God. It's your function to be that one, because anything else is being what you are not. One Son of God. Now with the mind, no matter whose mind it is, there's, I may be the Son of God, but not you. Or I'm not even the Son of God. That's what the mind says. Oh, I'm not the son of God, I'm just the carpenter's son. Or if I am the son of God, I look around me and there are many who are not. That's what the mind says. The mind lives on this planet with many human beings. It doesn't live with the Son of God. It lives under the material laws of this world, under the material powers of this world. It lives under the limitations of this world. That's what the mind does. Good mind or bad mind, brilliant mind or unbrilliant mind, it does not recognize that there is only one infinite Son of God and no other being. Your soul recognizes that. Your soul is meek unto the Father. Now, someone said in a little note here, explain more about the soul. To release your soul activity, you cannot live in humanhood. If you are a human, asking about your soul, there's no way to find out. You must renounce your humanhood to find out about your soul. There has never been a human being on earth who knew what a soul is. The only one who knows what a soul is a soul. When you renounce humanhood and know yourself to be soul, the qualities of your own soul will reveal themselves to you. The world has been too satisfied with human explanations about what a soul might be. But the world has not been a soul. The Son of God is a living soul, a living spirit, a living Christ. You are a living soul, a living spirit, a living Christ. And if you live in a human world, all knowledge you receive about soul will be secondhand. If you accept other humans around you, you are not living in your soul. If you accept a world made of humans, that is incompatible with soul living. Now, I expect that many people here today are going to either live in their soul or decide that it's just too difficult to do. And I suspect that some of us may decide, I'd rather be mortal. This is too complicated. But truthfully, I feel justified in pointing out these facts to any individual, no matter how he may reject them or not want them or prefer perhaps not to have wasted his time hearing them. Because I am speaking to those who are ready to live in the soul universe. And I'm not speaking to those who are not ready. Truthfully, I speak only to those who are ready to live in the soul, in a soul universe, under divine law, developing their capacity to extract the essence of spirit through their soul into that substance which transforms mortality into immortality. To these individuals who have been prepared by the Spirit for this, I am speaking, and to no others.